Hebrews chapter 1 is what we are going to look at, and I just want to thank you for your giving. Also, you know, almost all these things are done, you know, because you give, you know, because you are sacrificing. And that is your congregation in Ghana. Maybe you will never meet here on earth, but I believe in heaven. You know, maybe somebody will walk to you and say thank you for giving. You might never meet him or her there, but you will meet him or her in Ghana. So I just want to thank you very much. And as Pastor said, you know, when I knew I could come here, if there was one church I wanted to come, it was this church, because it has been a long time, 6 years ago, and I wanted to come here. Not because of the weather, because I already have that kind of weather in Ghana. But the road too is good. I remember, actually, it was in Arizona that the police stopped me. So I have a little bit bad memories about that. You know, the Pastor Studbucks, you know, he was pastoring, what's the name of the church? I forgot it. Bethel Baptist. And so he said, hey, have you been to the Grand Canyon? I said, no. He said, it's in Arizona. You can go there. I said, really? So I kind of planned everything. Saturday morning, waked up, was all right, and packed my stuff, and I was heading towards Grand Canyon, and somebody called me on the phone, and I figured out, well, it is okay to be on phone in Arizona. That time I checked it out, you know. So while I was going, I saw a semi-truck. I said, let me follow this semi-truck so that I don't go too fast. You know, men cannot do two things at the same time. You'll miss the other one. So, and that happened to me. You know, I should have known that men cannot do three things at the same. So I was following the semi-truck and I saw a blue light. And they told me, if you see a blue light, it's the police stop. In our place, you don't see a blue light, you know. You don't see a light. They just stop you, you know. And so I pulled over and said, do you know why we stop you? I said, no. He said, well, you were following too close to the semi. I thought he was a situation. It was something else. I wasn't too close, but we'll leave it there. And so he said, well, so I will book you for two things. He saw my card, insurance. He said, you don't have to be driving with this insurance. I said, well, in Wisconsin, that's what they gave me. I drive. So he booked me for having that, you know, and then for full speed. It all went up to be $300 and something. I think he didn't know where I come from. That's why he was. And if he knew that it was Ghana, he knew I cannot pay that money. But so he said, I'll go to court in July. And the Tuesday I was leaving Arizona. I said, I cannot. I'm going to Ghana, so I think I have to have the court in Ghana. But Monday, Pastor Studbucks took me to the court to see whether they can change. Somebody will hear me. And I told Pastor, I don't have the money to pay. And we are not going to pay the money, so let's call God, you know. So we prayed, got there, and then, by the way, it's an illustration to my preaching, so don't worry, we'll close early. So when we got there, and I went to the window trying to explain what happened to this woman, lady, that was, and then there was another elderly lady just standing casually, you know, just by, while, you know, I was explaining this to this woman. The woman said, well, okay, let me see whether we can get you a judge to listen to you. And so the woman that was standing there took my passport and then my license and then the paper that they gave me, and she vanished. We were sitting there for about 20 minutes, and then the other woman came and said, has she come? We said, no, and we're very tense. I don't want to stand before a judge, you know. And all those things. And then she said, oh, don't worry. She is the manager of the court, of everything here. So she will get you a judge. I thought, oh, okay, that's good news. And, you know, that brought, you know, my anxiety down a little bit. And then within about another 15 minutes, she came. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. Some of our judges are on vacation. They didn't come. The one that came, you know, have a lot of things going on. So I'm sorry. I just asked him to cancel everything. I said, oh, that's good. So she canceled everything and then gave everything to me. said, no, it's free. They shouldn't have stopped you. Your license was all right. We don't know why it happened, but we are so sorry that you didn't go to the Grand Canyon. Amen. And up till today, I haven't gone to the Grand Canyon, you know. I said that to say this. Everything changed when you know who you are dealing with. You have confidence. You know, I like soccer. If my team, football, you know, I meant real football. In my team, if I have Messi, who is the best player in the world, and I have Ronaldo, who is one of the best players in the world, I think I know I will win. Because of their ability, what they can do. Now, as Christians, this is an earthly illustration. As Christians, do you know who we have? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one that is on our side. He's never against us. He's always for us. And it is so scary to see how Christians will treat Jesus Christ. Very scary. You go to church and you don't hear the name Jesus Christ even mentioned once in the service. You see, the world, we know what the world is doing with Jesus Christ. That is okay, because that is the world. He's not of the world. But the scary thing is that that's the same thing Christians are doing to Jesus Christ. The world have taken him out of their schools, right? We say that they took Jesus Christ out, they took the Bible, and it's a concern and all those things, but think about it. It's the world. That's how they do it. But what about Christians? We've taken Jesus Christ out of our lives, out of the church. And we have reinvented Jesus. The Jesus that will fit us. You see, I will worship Jesus Christ if he gives me everything that I need. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ in my life. You know, when I have the good school, you know, good marriage, you know, a big house, have a nice car. Of course, who doesn't want to serve this kind of Jesus Christ? We all want to serve the Jesus Christ on our terms. But that's not Jesus Christ. He is God. And sometimes we don't think that he is God. We think that he's something else. He's our buddy, you know, he's our friend. He's a friend. Hebrews chapter 1, look at what he said. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. God has spoken to us. He said in the past, he was speaking through a lot of things. But in these last days, has spoken unto us by his son, Jesus Christ. Whom he had, look at how he's going to describe him, where he is. And who he is, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by him also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he has by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, that we can know who you are. Open our eyes to behold the wondrous things that you have in scriptures for us. That we live here today being satisfied with Jesus Christ. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so my question this morning to us is that, who is Jesus in our lives? Who is he? Is he God? Is he man? Is he God-man? How do we see him? What is our relationship with him? You see, when it comes to Jesus Christ, we are talking about God. And sometimes we separate it. We separate between God and Jesus Christ. If you meet the description of God in the Old Testament, that is Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It is him. He is God, the very God. He created everything that we can see or even we cannot see. He's the one that made it possible that we are alive today. He is. And the Bible says that he holds everything together in his. Apart from Jesus Christ, there's no life. There isn't. You know, in the Bible, there are There are so many mysteries in the Bible that we might never understand, and it will continue to be mysteries until we go to heaven. But there's one thing that is not a mystery, and that is Jesus is God. It's not a mystery. It's not a mistake. In fact, the reason why they crucified Jesus was because he claimed to be God. That was a sin. And so, you know, whatever you think about Jesus in your mind, let's allow the Bible to describe Jesus Christ to us. You can get by with a lot of things. You can maybe get by with music, dressing, and your life will be still fine. But if you get it wrong on Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. That's right. That's how important it is. A lot of things you can get wrong. You can divide opinions on a lot of things. But if you don't get it right with Jesus Christ, you will not make it to heaven. And it is very important that we know who Jesus Christ is. In fact, our very meaning is because of him. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Verse 14 says that, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, John chapter 8, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my days, and he saw it and was glad. You remember that story? You know, the Pharisees were very mad. You know, you are not even up to 50 years. How can you say that Jesus, you know, Abraham saw your days? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, you know English more than me. Before Abraham was, I am. That's a wrong English. Right? I was. Before Abraham was, I was. Well, unless you study the Greek, it tells you the reason why he used the word I am. Jehovah. I am that I am. In Exodus chapter 3. When God appeared to Moses, that is the phrase he used there. I am that I am. He said, before Abraham was, I am Jehovah. God himself, Jesus Christ, saying that. John chapter 14, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. Philip said, show us the Father. Show us God, and it will suffice us. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Wow. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. For I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Colossians chapter 2, it says that, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. If you meet Jesus Christ, the Bible said you've met God. Jesus is not a way to God. He is God himself. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It means by him all things hold together. If Jesus Christ today, right now, said, I'm tired of holding the world together, you know what will happen. He is God. Is he God in our lives? Is that the way we see him? We've been with him. He saved us. And yet, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said it wasn't robbery when he said he was God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He committed no sin. I cannot even think about it. He committed none. No sin. Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. For by him, you know, he said, for he has made him, that's God, has made Jesus Christ sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We stand before God because of Jesus Christ. He took our place. He bore our shame. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The Bible says that who his own self bare our sins. He is. In fact, he is the only one that his accusers said that no man has ever spoken like him. Even his enemies couldn't stand his doctrine. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to him. He is the head of the body, the church, the beginning of the firstborn. He has authority to forgive sin. Do you know that Christianity is the only religion? If we say Christianity is a religion, that have the solution to sin. Because of Jesus Christ. He has authority to forgive sin. He speaks and the wind obey. You think that is easy? Go to the lake or whatever you find and speak to the wind. He commanded and unclean spirit came out. He rebuked fevers and they are departed. He caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. Lepers are clean in his presence. That is Jesus Christ. In fact, he went to a funeral ground and then the dead followed him back to the house. That's who he is. He said, destroy this body and in 3 days, I'll bring it up. He died, right? But he was on the third day, he was resurrected. That is who he is. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. No one spoke like him. To know him is to know the unsearchable riches of God. Wow. And he's coming back. Do you know that? He's coming back. You know, in Acts chapter 2, the angel says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gaze in heaven? This same Jesus, whom you have seen taken up, will come back again. He's coming again. We know the end of our story. Because of Jesus Christ. And now you come to our text, and it has two phrases that I want to pull out. He said, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. It means that he glows God. He is the brightness of God's glory. The express image means he's the print. He is the stamp. If you stamp God, you get Jesus Christ. He's the very God. When he said that he sat down the majesty on high, you know, right? Sometimes it looks very confusing. It wasn't like, okay, there are two thrones in heaven, and then God the Father is sitting on this, and then on the right hand, Jesus Christ is sitting. No, he is sitting on the very throne of God with all power and all authority and all wisdom and all strength, everything. You know, because of Jesus Christ, we will see God in heaven. We will see him. We will not go looking for God because he is God. He is God. He created the universe. He created everything that we can think of. And the things they are still discovering. He spoke and they came to being. And in Genesis chapter 1, he said, and he created the stars also. It's kind of like he didn't have to break a sweat. He created this. I know, you know, and I did this also. Now, we know what the stars are, right? They are not twinkle, twinkle little stars. They are not. They are huge. And the Bible says God didn't even take time to create them. That's Jesus Christ. He commands and they come. In fact, he sustains the universe with the words of his mouth. And then he sustained, you know, he provided the final cleansing for our sins. Do you know? And the Bible says that but he himself purged our sin. He wasn't forced into, he wasn't, you know, lured into dying for us. He did it by voluntarily, willingly. He purged our sins. He sat down on the majesty on high. There is no sin greater than Jesus Christ. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how messy your story is, he can turn it into a message. He can give you back everything if you turn to him. There's no wicked pair. Put the most ugly, wicked man on earth. Jesus Christ's blood have the potential of saving that family. He said, when he has purged our sins, he sat down. Sitting down means what? It is finished. It is finished. You see, my sins, oh, you know, the songwriter, my sins, not in part, but a whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. You know, no man, and we have to be careful. It's not like he's giving us license to sin. But you can sing a million times and you come and there is enough blood to clean that million sins that you committed. He can. He can. Look at the reaction of people who encountered Jesus Christ. You see the scripture, how it portrays Jesus Christ. Is that how I portray Jesus Christ in my life? By the way I speak, by the way I talk, by the way I go to prayer with him, do I see him that he's on a different plane? He's not in the box that I'm trying to put him in. He's not. He's bigger than that. We define good as everything good for us. That's not the definition of God being good. He's more than good. He's merciful. He's loving. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. Think of what, about the long-suffering God has for us. See, sometimes we count our blessings and say God is good. But have you ever count your sins? And tell God, God, you are good. If God should pay us, I don't think we'll be here. Anyone who met Jesus Christ does not walk away flippantly. Anyone in the Bible. Abraham met Jesus Christ. Because he said he saw and was glad. And do you know how Abraham said? He said, in Genesis chapter 18, I am but dust and ashes. Moses trembling and quick at the sight of Jesus Christ in Exodus chapter 19. When Jesus, God came upon the mountains, the Bible says that, and the sight of the mountain was like a devouring fire. Why? Because God has come down. Jesus Christ. Daniel. You know, there are two people that God never recalled their sons. Joseph and Daniel. I don't know, but Daniel will tell his son, you know. But God chose not. So if you look at a perfect man, you go to Daniel. But when Daniel saw Jesus Christ, he said, my comeliness will stand in me into corruption. Peter, first time meeting Jesus Christ, said, depart from me, for I am a sinner. Depart from me. He saw Jesus Christ, who he was. You see, when we see Jesus Christ, it changes our lives. And then later he has to say, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. The blind man begged, have mercy on me, thou son of David. The thief on the cross with a lamentable voice said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The soldier, the unbeliever said, of truth, this is the Son of God. These are reactions of people when they come in contact with Jesus Christ. And we believe that we are blood-bought Christians, have accepted Jesus Christ, and most of the time we come in contact with Jesus Christ and we are not even moved. We don't even know it because we are so busy with what we wanted him to do for us. And he didn't, or he's late, or he's slow. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The Bible said that, and the posts of the door move at the voice of Jesus, of God. Inanimate things moved at the presence of God. What about us? What about us as Christians? I love to tell the story. We sang it. And sometimes you go, I believe that Christians should be the most happiest people in the world. No matter what is going on. A joy should, in the presence of the Lord, there is what? Fullness of joy. Your theme, right? That has shown me the power. In the presence of God, there is what? Fullness of joy. So whenever I don't have joy, there's a problem with me. I'm looking to Jesus Christ with the wrong eye. No matter what you are going through, the sickness, the bills, everything, but you can have joy. The economy, forget about it. When Jesus Christ, you put Jesus Christ in his right place, you can enjoy today and every day of your life. So what should be our response to God, to Jesus Christ, who is God, the very God? Make no apology for that. He created everything. He is the one that everybody will meet, and he will judge everybody. He is the judge. He's coming back. He will end the world because he created it. He started it. He's not part of creation. He's outside. You know, sometimes when you think about it, your brain, you get like migraines, you know, of who God is. And then you look at how people responded to him and their lives have changed. And so what should be our response to this Jesus Christ, knowing who he is as portrayed by the scriptures? We cannot go untouched by his awesomeness. He's so awesome. You know, don't be ashamed to mention the name Jesus Christ. I know we don't want to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. But hey, you can mention it. It's the name. The name that moves mountains. The name that solves the unsolvable. Isaiah says that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I should have peace in my life. I should have peace in my home. Why? Because the Prince of Peace is with me. He is. The New Testament gives us about 5 pictures. And I said 5, but they are not long. Yeah? What time do you close? 12, right? No. We're good. Matthew chapter 13. The first picture I see, that our response, you know, the proper understanding on him, to call upon us to respond to him, the 5 pictures that I want to give you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, that when a man found it, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goes and sell all that he has and buy that field. I see Jesus Christ, our response should be like a treasure. A treasure. Beautiful one. I don't know what treasure comes into your mind that you don't want to give it up. Or you found it somewhere. Look at the man. He found it. It is the finding of a treasure. And then with the joy, selling all that you have to buy that treasure. He wants to own that treasure. Do you want to own Jesus Christ that much? Do you want to have Jesus Christ that much that you sell everything? You sell your comfort, you sell your fame, you sell the popularity of the world, you sell your fashion, everything, just to have Jesus. So the man found that and said, that is what I want. It is in the joy of having Jesus that he sells everything. The joy of being with Jesus Christ. There is no better treasure than Jesus Christ. In fact, apart from Jesus Christ, there's no treasure. There's no treasure. So the decision to sell all is for the joy of having Jesus Christ. So that's a picture I see of Jesus Christ. He should be a treasure in my life. Every day, I want to take it and look at it, you know, put it down, you know, come back, and even if it's not dirty, clean it, you know, put it down, show it to my friends, what I have, but make sure that they don't steal it, you know, guard it with all my life. That is the treasure. John chapter 6. We find another, and this is Jesus Christ himself speaking. John chapter 6, verse 36. I see the picture of food and drink. This is for the men, you know. Men love food. You know, there will be food in heaven, you know. This is my opinion, in case you go there and you don't find it. But the marriage supper, you know. But and there will be coffee drinking too. So, John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Food and drink. Have you ever been thirsty that there is no water for you to drink? You will drink everything, anything. anything that comes. I remember I was in the Boy Scout. We were going somewhere. And then we drink all our bottled waters. You know, we're walking and singing. So, and then the singing died down. Everybody was like, and all the flashlights, it was in the night. We were just in the bush, you know, trying to get water. And finally someone said, hey, there's water here. We went there and then we drank to our fullness. And the following day we were coming back. Now this is the daytime. We got to where we drank the water. It was as brown, as muddy, as dirty as it is. But we didn't care. Why? We're thirsty. Jesus said, I am the fountain of life. Are you thirsty with life? Come to me. He said, come to me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. John chapter 7, in that great day, Jesus stood up and cried with a loud voice, he that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. In fact, Jesus Christ, you can come to him as food and drink, drink, eat, and never check your diet, you know. Don't be worried about the balance, and he balances everything. He satisfies our soul. You know, the songwriter said, hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long have craved. Jesus satisfies all my longing. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And so this, I see the picture of food and drink. Jesus said, come, I will satisfy you. You see, we have a lot of thirst quenchers in the world that Christians run to. And Jesus Christ said, look, they will never satisfy you. Come on to me. The water that I give you to drink, you will never lack again. You will never lack again. What is going on in your life that you think that no one can solve it for you? Jesus Christ can. He can. The miseries, the trials, he can. He can help you through it. And you will be satisfied. Family relationship. John, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Family relationship. And this is again Jesus Christ speaking. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son and daughter, maybe they should have put in like granddaughter here too, you know, grandchildren, more than me is not worthy of me. Now, I love my wife, you know. Right now, I know she will not call right now because she knows my schedule. But if she should call right now, I will leave everything I'm doing to answer the call. Because of my wife, I don't put off my phone. I put on silent, or, you know, when I'm coming into a service. Why? I love her. I love her. You know, when Carolinda was born, we found out she has cerebral palsy and all those things. We love her. She's part of our life. 24/7, either I'm with her or my sister, my mom is with her, or my wife is with her. We love her. And Jesus Christ said, look, my love for him should be more than my love for my wife and my mom and my children. If not, I am not worthy of him. Is there a family member in our lives that we love more than Jesus Christ? Love Jesus more than them all. If you love Jesus less than them, he said, you are not worthy. To be worth means to walk worthy of what Jesus Christ wants. To put a price on somebody. How much is Jesus Christ to you? How much? But are you willing to let go because of Jesus Christ? Philippians chapter 3, Paul steps in, verse 8. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them done. I said, they are nothing that I may win Christ. Excrement. He said, if you want me to compare Jesus Christ with whatever is in the world, it's like comparing a treasure with a dung, with excrement. Jesus Christ should be, the preciousness of Jesus Christ is so great that I consider everything worthless I don't want them in my life. And you think Paul didn't have anything in his life? He was the Hebrews of Hebrews. A Pharisee concerning the law. Blameless. And he said, all those things are nothing if you compare Jesus Christ with whatever I have. Now, can we compare Jesus Christ with our possessions and conclude that these are nothing to me? But Jesus Christ is everything I need. And then the last is death wish. Death wish. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, you know, my life is Jesus Christ. I live, I talk, I walk, I go to places, I sleep. Everything about me is Jesus Christ. So then to die is gain. If I die, I'm in his presence. And then verse 23, he says, for I am in strait between two, having the desire to depart. I want to be with Christ, which is far better. I understand it now here, you know, when I came and I felt lonely. My wife, you know, right now, my wish is to be with my wife. That is my wish. But it's necessary that I'm here. And that's what Paul is communicating here. He said, you know what? If you don't wish that God comes now, you have a problem. And sometimes Christians, we are entangled with a lot of things. That the only thing we want right now to happen is God, don't come. Don't come. I got certain things to do. Still have to build that house, that dream house. I still have to marry that person. I have to get it in before you come. And God is saying, then I'm not worthy of you. I'm not. You go through the. In fact, the apostles thought that Jesus will come in their days, in their time. They thought. And today we don't. No. We don't. We want the world to get better, you know, the economy to at least stabilize, get our right person in the White House or wherever he is, and then everything, and then we want to make earth heaven. We can't. It is impossible. We cannot do that because this world is not our home. Even if we have a deacon as a president of the state, but it still will be horrible. If you have a pastor, it will be worse. Because we don't need them. This is their world. Let them run their world. Our world is coming. Jesus Christ. He said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he can come right now. That I will not make it to Ghana. And praise the Lord if I don't, because we will meet there forever and ever and ever. You know, there was a prayer request that a lady, I don't know, that she's praying that God takes her home. Wow. I haven't heard that for a long time. Praying that God, I'm done. I want to see you. I want to see you. So in conclusion, who is Jesus Christ? Is he the supreme treasure that we want, that we desire, that we sell all to have him? Is he the thirst quencher? And the soul satisfier, that we turn away from all worldly fountains of things that it gives us, so that we just drink and eat Jesus Christ every single day of our lives? Do we love him more than our family? Is he worth it in our lives? To compare him, is he supreme than anything? And finally, do we want to be with him? We want, and you know that every day you can be with Jesus Christ. Every day, not in the morning alone, in the afternoon, in the evening, anytime. He's the only one that never misunderstands you, never misjudge you. He will never override you. He will never forsake you. He will not leave you. He loves you perfectly. He will never unlove you. Never. Your sin cannot take you away from him. His love, because of sin, his love haven't decreased. He's the only one that knows who you are and still love you. Because if you know who I am, my friend, I don't think I'll be standing on the pulpit. it's true. But there's one man. You know, sometimes Christians said, nobody loves me. No, those are the wrong people. The right person loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And as we've believed in him, he said, whosoever believed in this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I don't know what to say to you. You are missing it. You have it wrong. And you go to hell. You will die and go to hell. But Jesus Christ today opens his arms wide and said, come, come. I am the only one that have a ticket for you to go to heaven. He said, if you confess your sin, you come to me and ask for forgiveness. He said, I will clean you. I will make you fit for heaven. And all of us can go to heaven. All of us. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. If you don't know how, you know, after the service, you can talk to me, talk to pastor, talk to anyone that you think is safe. Hey, how can I know I'm going to heaven? I want to. I want to. And God will help us. And as Christians, you know, let's be proud of Jesus Christ once again. Let's talk about him once again. Don't be shy to mention the name of Jesus Christ. At the mall, wherever you go, you are not cursing. You know, you are not blaspheming. No. He is your Savior. You can mention his name everywhere. Keep him. Keep him. Because he will keep you. Let's pray.